Hello and welcome to the Creating Happy Writers podcast. My name is Steph Caswell, a multi-published author and writing coach who believes that every woman has a story worth sharing. I'm here to show you that writing your book doesn't have to be overwhelming or time-consuming. After all, you already have the expertise and content within you. Instead, I want to help women like you create a guilt-free space to write, build the confidence to share your message, and turn your knowledge into a business-boosting book that helps you earn what you deserve. You can get more support from me via my weekly email newsletter or in my book, Dare to Write. You can also become a member of the Happy Writers Hub, a space for you to dedicate regular time to your book project and start prioritizing it as your next bold business move. Doors are always open, so come and join us for weekly co-writing sessions, as well as monthly live Q&A sessions where you can ask anything you'd like about the writing and publishing process. Links to the newsletter, book, and the hub are all in the show notes. Today is episode 83 of the podcast, and I'm going to be giving you some advice and support if you are or ever find yourself in the position of struggling to finish. No, this isn't an episode about erectile dysfunction, but about completing your book. Often called the mid-book slump, it can be challenging to overcome, but I'm here to give you some tips and advice, both from my experience as a book coach, but also as an author myself. A lot of time is spent talking about starting books. And to be honest, a lot of the people that I work with are in that position. They come to me with an idea. They want to flesh it out. They want to create an outline. We look at what it's going to do for their business. There's a whole process involved with starting a book. A lot of it comes down also to confidence. So there's a mindset piece of work that often has to happen at the beginning, that perhaps you feel like an imposter. Perhaps you feel like you don't have time. All of those things that I've spoken about many, many times on the podcast about starting. But I thought it would be useful to think about the point in the book where you are in a slump, where you are perhaps halfway through or three quarters of the way through, and the end is in sight, but it's still some way off. And I guess selfishly, part of the reason that I decided to talk about this today is because I am at that point. I have got about 10,000 words left to write, and it's a couple of chapters and the introduction. So for me, I've been in this position. This is the eighth time in nonfiction that I've been in this position, but I've also been in it a few times within novel writing too. So it's ground that I've covered, if you like, but it never ceases to amaze me how much it can still be an issue, not because I don't enjoy the process, not because I don't feel like I'm very good at the process, but because it's just a slog. There's no way of getting away from it, I don't think. Even if you love what you're writing, which I hope you do, it can still feel an effort. And we can often sit back and think, oh, is it worth it? I'm so tired of this topic now, or I'm so tired of having to sit down and write every day or whenever your writing sessions might be. And we can feel, I guess, guilty that we feel that way. And particularly for me as a professional writer, as somebody who does this for a living, I do feel sometimes as though, well, you know, you shouldn't feel like this, Steph. You should enjoy every moment and you should just sail through because you know what you're doing now. And it's not like that, is it? If we're in any capacity in our lives, we can have done things loads of times and we can still feel this way. We can still not enjoy elements of the process or elements of the journey or our emotions or any of that kind of stuff. So that was kind of the reason I wanted to talk to you today about this mid-book slump. A, because I recognize it. B, because I'm in it myself. I'm also somebody who helps authors when they're in this position. And how I do that is either I'll do a kind of mid-book manuscript review. People who have got so far, then they're stuck. They just cannot see the wood for the trees. They can't. Somebody said to me on a consultation call I did with them a few months ago, she just said, I'm just in the weeds. I can't sort of step out and look at it objectively anymore. I'm just too in it to see what's wrong with it or why it doesn't feel like it's moving forward. So that's very, very common. And I will work with them by doing a review and looking at where they've got to so far, what's working, what perhaps they need to consider, but also why they then might be feeling stuck. What is it that is causing the problem? And it can be that they don't have an outline, that they're just writing by the seat of their pants. Or it could be that they have got a little bit of imposter syndrome. I don't know whether that's quite, you know, maybe that's too strong, but maybe they're just starting to feel as though actually, do they have anything worth saying? And that sort of thing. Or I get people who come to me at the end and they've written whatever they can, and it's probably a very, very rough draft. And they just want some feedback, like, does it work structurally? Does it carry the reader through the book in a way that makes sense? So if you're listening to this and you are like me in this slumpy bit, I just want to reassure you that it happens to most people. Some people seek support, and I would say if you are really struggling, that is definitely something to think about. But sometimes we just need to almost reset and just go again. And that can feel unappealing right now, but it's really worth it. One of the reasons that I started the Happy Writers Hub was because of this process, where we're so full of motivation at the start and we kind of really get going and we're like, yeah, I'm sitting down to write today. And then like 2 months, 3 months in, you now think, oh, I don't want to just sit on my own and do this. So that's the reason that I created the Hub, was because I realized that there's this gap where people who are writing business books, who are doing it for the first time, who perhaps are feeling a little alone and a little bit lacking motivation, they're wondering whether it's just worth continuing, whether they should just shelve this. That's what it's there for, because I recognize the importance of having cheerleaders around you, people around you to keep you going, accountability, all that stuff. So if this sounds like you could actually benefit from a 3 or 6 or 12 month membership to that, then come and check it out and click on the link. The common reasons for the slump: we've lost that initial excitement and motivation. Yes, I've already said that. And it is extremely common. When you start any new project, you're super raring to go. You've told everyone you're starting, or perhaps you haven't, or you are feeling as though this is going to be the next exciting move for your business. And actually, it's, I think, unlike most other things that you will ever do for your business. Even when you're launching, even when you've got an evergreen product, it's almost as though it just has a momentum of its own, really. You can sort of put some real effort into perhaps marketing and launching this particular product or service. And then like you're then in the thick of it and it's just moseying along quite nicely. And then maybe you have to do another launch. So you have to raise your energy again and then it goes down again. I think that writing a book is very different. I don't think there's anything, even podcasting, that I can compare it to, because it's such a cognitive drain. Like if I had to sit down every day and come up with new ideas for the podcast and talk to you every day, I would find that challenging. Not because I don't enjoy it, but because it just becomes monotonous. It becomes work. And as soon as something creative feels worky, it can help with that loss of motivation, and not help in a good way, I guess, hinder us around this loss of motivation. And we can have that rush and then it fades. And then perhaps we get halfway and we kind of get a pickup again. And then it's, so yes, a loss of initial excitement. Then you've got perhaps a perceived loss of control. Quite often, and I'll talk about this a bit more later, when you're doing your first draft, you've got your outline, you're kind of looking at it, but the first draft will take on a life of its own. And you can have an outline and you can have done it really, really carefully. You could have worked with me and we've done an outline together. And then you're kind of off and running. And then the book takes a life of its own. It sort of starts to kind of dictate what wants to happen, which again sounds absolutely bananas, but it's true. And I often find this in my novels. I think I've said this before on the podcast, where my novels will take on a life of their own in terms of what the characters do. So the characters will all of a sudden start doing things that I hadn't anticipated and I hadn't thought they would do, or perhaps they bring up something that happened in their past that isn't directly linked but is impacting perhaps the way they're thinking about something or the way they feel about something that I had never considered was in their backstory. Being organized and being really structured, but knowing that sometimes the book can then take a life of its own, you feel like you've lost control of the situation and it's hard to know how to pull it back. You could also be struggling with a little bit of perfectionism, and I mean this with the greatest love. The first draft is going to be shitty. That is why I always call it the shitty first draft. And we can be writing and coinciding with that process. We could be reading books in our genre or reading other books that inspire us or whatever it could be. And we start to do that comparison thing. We think, oh, actually, this my book isn't sounding anything like the book I've just read or this book I love. Why isn't mine sounding like that? And we can go into perfectionist mode and we can keep stopping and editing and tweaking. And again, if you know me, you will know I never read back anything I've written until the end of my first draft to stop myself, because I know I am guilty of doing that. And that's what stopped me for so long with the first book I ever wrote, was because I was trying to write and edit at the same time. Again, we can get trapped in the perfectionism. We want it to sound exactly perfectly right. And unfortunately, in the first draft, it's rare. You might write the odd sentence where you're like, yes, that is definitely staying in, or that felt really good. But the majority of it, you know, you're going to have to tweak and amend and change and improve. And it's just part of the process. You can also get, and I mentioned this earlier, a little bit tired of your topic, of your content. I mean, you normally will have loads of experience with this topic, and you'll also likely love your topic. And if you don't love it, I would say don't write a book about it, because it will come across in what you write and how you write it. But I, for example, am doing my book on productivity. I love learning about how to be more productive. I love learning about the neuroscience to do with habit formation and all of that. So it doesn't feel like a topic that I wouldn't want to write about. But actually, at the same time, you go so in depth and you go so everything you could possibly want to say and write and feel about a particular topic can then make you start to be like, oh, I'm tired of thinking about this. And I'm, you know, at the moment with 10,000 words to go, I am a little bit now like, oh, I really have written everything I think I could possibly write. So the last bit feels a little bit fatigued. Again, mentioned imposter syndrome. That is definitely an issue. You can do the thing where you're comparing, yes, but also you can do that thing where you start to write, and because it isn't sounding exactly right yet, because you haven't been through your initial edits and because you haven't done the second and third and fourth draft, you will feel like you're not doing this justice, or you're not feeling as though this is exactly how you want it to sound. Should you even be writing it? Perhaps you didn't know your topic as well as you thought you did. Then you start to spiral and you think, well, there's already so many books on this. Why am I writing one? Just maybe I shouldn't. All this stuff can come up for you at this point in this mid-book slump. And then finally, time management, habits. We start off strong, like we do with a maybe a New Year habit, where we're like, yes, I'm going to get up every morning and I'm going to go for a walk at 6 o'clock in the morning. And it works for week one and it works for week two. And then week three happens and you're like, I do not want to get out of this bed. It's mid-January, it's dark, it's cold, it's probably raining. And that enthusiasm and those habits that you've tried to build can wane. And even if you are someone who's done 30-minute writing sprints like me, there are now days in this process where I will miss a day and I know I'm doing it and I will put other things as a priority because I am all of the other things above: the fatigue, the loss of like initial excitement, this idea about not necessarily perfectionism, but just me being like 8 books in. Sometimes it's frustrating for me because I think, I know how I want this to sound. And I know that when I normally do this, it sounds like this, and it's just not happening today. And pushing through that and sitting down anyway. And most importantly, and I'll come on to this now when I talk about the solutions to the slump, is, you know, what am I doing that's filling up my creativity cup? What am I doing that is outside of writing that is going to actually directly impact my writing in a positive way? I hope that you can see that as I talk through those kind of symptoms, the slump symptoms, it's something that's easy to see why it happens. And also that you are 100%, 100% not the only person that is struggling with this. It's just everybody. And I was thinking about this because I've just finished the Creative Act by Rick Rubin, and I really enjoyed it. And sometimes we can kind of pigeonhole ourselves and think, well, as a writer, you know, it's only me who feels this particular way about the creative process. And as a writer, we have it this way. Or and I just thought to myself, do you know what, as a painter, and I'm not a painter, but I do love Landscape and Portrait Artist of the Year on Sky Arts. And I watch it every season. My husband and I absolutely love it. And I think I was thinking about some of the paintings, and we see those people who, if you ever watch it, they paint either a person on Portrait Artist, obviously, or the landscape on Landscape Artist, obviously, in 4 hours. And the challenge is, can they get their painting complete in 4 hours? And whereas I might have been writing for 4 months and been seeing this kind of roller coaster of emotions and, I guess, energy and enthusiasm and all that stuff over 4 months, you see it over 4 hours. You see them go through the midpoint slump where they don't know whether their painting's going to come together, or it's maybe they're having to like make some massive adjustments. You might see, sometimes you see people who started and then they start again, they scrap the original idea after an hour and they've only got 3 hours then. You know, all of this stuff happens in whatever creative pursuit you're doing, not just writing. So I hope you take comfort from that, and I'm now going to continue with hopefully some solutions to help you. So this is kind of my rules for the first draft for me to live by. And I was thinking about how I could make this not sound as though these are things you have to do, but for me, they are, they're necessities, they're non-negotiables, where I have to just keep reminding myself when I'm in this mid-book slump, or as I am kind of, I guess, last bit slump, you know, these are the things that can help me, and I hope they can help you. So the first one is reminding myself that the first draft is always, always exploration and discovery mode. And I was talking to a writer the other day who was part of Write 90, and I was saying to her that this is so crucial in the first draft mode, that you are just exploring your topic, that you are allowing it to be whatever it has to be. The first draft is normally like a download, if you like, onto the page of your thoughts, your opinions, your feelings about a topic. And I always encourage myself, but also my writers, to allow it to be an absolute vomit on a page, where you will write things that you know as you write them that you're not going to keep, but it's just part of the thought process and the writing process, where you just write everything you're thinking, everything you could possibly want to say. And then you can remind yourself that actually you're going to come back to this. Some of this stuff's going to go. Some of it's going to be taken out. Some of it's going to stay but be improved. The odd sentence or the odd paragraph might be absolutely brilliant in your opinion. It's so important to remind yourself that this is a chance to free yourself from the expectation and have your outline to hand. Yes, have it. I always have it next to me on my iPad or my phone. I've always got it so I can keep referencing it, but don't be tied to it. I know that sounds like it goes against what I always talk about and how important it is to outline and structure your book before you start. But I would say that because these first drafts take a life of their own, you need to keep yourself kind of roughly where you should be going, but just sometimes explore stuff, like talk about things, write about stuff that maybe you don't actually, well, you never thought you would include, but it's just come to you as you're writing and you're like, yeah, do you know what? I'm just going to explore that a little bit. And then it might be that when you do the second draft and you're reading through and you're starting your self edits, that you think, no, do you know what, this, I did go off on a tangent here, but you needed to do it to kind of get it out and process it on the page. Second solution, never reread anything until you finish. That was the thing that changed my entire approach to writing, and it changed my entire ability to finish my books. That one thing, never reading back until the end. Third thing, think of your first draft as a starting point. And I know that can feel deflating perhaps, but it is the starting point. At the moment, the book is still in your head. Some of it's on the page, maybe nearly all of it is on the page. It's had to go from head to page. And in that process, it's just the start. It's just the first attempt. It is not the final thing that people are going to read. And nobody ever has to read it. So you have to keep reminding yourself that it's just you and this document. It is not you, your family, your friends, the people that you want to buy the book, your clients, Great Aunt Sally in Australia. It's not them. It's you and your book. have some self-compassion, be kind to yourself, remind yourself all the time why you're doing this. Keep motivated by coming back to the why, coming back to the reader. Who do you want to help? Picture one person that perhaps you've helped in person and think, I'm writing for them. I'm writing for other people who were where they were and they are now where, hopefully, where that person is. You want to get the readers to where that person is. Imposter syndrome will come. You will start to question whether this is a good idea, whether you're the right person, all that stuff I said. Please remember, you're enough. You have a voice and an expertise and knowledge that people need. And yes, there may be loads of other books in your genre. Yes, you may be in a niche which has got lots of stuff available, but it's not your stuff. It's not your stuff. It's not your voice. It's not your strategy. It's not your opinion. It's not where you stand. And that's what we need. We need books that are going to move the needle for people. And there are lots of books out there that aren't very well written and don't move the needle. So please remember, there may be lots of books, but are there as many great books as yours is going to be? Refill your cup in other ways. Go for walks, get outside, have a break, take a few days off from the manuscript, go and do something completely different. Maybe go away somewhere overnight, or go and do something else creative, like draw or paint or knit or sew or sing or whatever it is. Make sure that you're doing the other things. Don't let the book consume all of you and all of your spare time. Don't, you know, say to your friends, oh, I can't meet for coffee because I've got to write my book, or I can't go to the usual hobby that I do. Perhaps you play football, or perhaps you go to sing in a choir, or perhaps you go to church, or whatever it is. Don't give up those things in pursuit of your book, because those things are going to nourish you to complete it. When we stop doing the things that we don't realize are nourishing us in so many different ways, we can then struggle with that kind of creative burnout. We can struggle with feeling as though we have anything to give. And I always reference Anne Lamott when she talks about writer's block being a bit like you're constipated. But she also talks about the creativity cup. And when it's empty, you're trying to draw from an empty cup. You have nothing to give, nothing else to say. And that's when you can maybe take a few days or go and do daily walking and go and talk about it to somebody. Get a friend and say, listen, I'm in this real slump and I just need to talk at you. You don't know anything about what I'm talking about, but I need to talk it out. And again, when people speak to me, and sometimes I'll do those inspiration hours and where they'll just come and talk to me and we talk it out. I let them tell me, what's the issue? Here's how we can sort it. And in an hour, we've cracked it and they're ready to move on again. So don't underestimate how powerful it is to talk to someone about the process and how you're feeling stuck. Allow it to be crap. I think I said this before with the shitty first draft. Allow it to be shitty. Stop thinking it's going to be brilliant in the first attempt. It is not. Just think about anything. And can I just say, this is the one thing that I feel like is a really good analogy. It's just come to me. I don't often cook pancakes because I find them bloody hard. I don't know why, but I do. And often because I really want them to be like those American thick pancakes. And so when they're not, I always feel a bit like, oh, these are a bit rubbish. But on the random Sunday, you know, when I think, oh, do you know what? I'm going to make some pancakes. The first pancake in any batch that I make is absolutely dreadful. It's terrible. Maybe the oil isn't hot enough, or I've put too much or too little mixture in and it starts to burn. It's just honestly the first pancake every time. And then as I go along, I get better at the, you know, because I don't do it every week, because I only do it every few months or perhaps even a couple of times a year. I forget what I need to do. I need to forget that, you know, the pan needs to be hot enough and blah, blah, blah. And I do the first one and it's terrible and it has to go in the bin. And so I think it's just reminding yourself that your book, your first draft is the first pancake. Terry Pratchett talks about when you're writing a novel, it's you telling yourself the story, the first draft. I'm going to remind you that, okay, let's take out the novel part, but it's you getting to know your book. It's you and the book. You need to get to know each other. You need to know how each other ticks and what you enjoy about one another's company, but also what you feel is important to stay and go. But you won't know that until you just get to know it. Download your thoughts. Just, you know, open up yourself to the book and see what comes out. Don't forget to diarize. So if you've let your habits slip, then think about, okay, get my diary out or get my phone out and put it on, make appointments with myself to get this thing over the line. If you are in a creative slump with your book, if you are in that point where you've lost sort of the desire to get it over the line, then perhaps avoid reading too much else in your genre, because again, it can bring back comparisonitis. It can make us think that perhaps we haven't got anything useful to say. So if that is actually what is blocking you, read other stuff, read out of your genre, read novels, read poetry, read whatever it is, read Substack newsletters, again, not in your genre. Just immerse yourself in writing so you can enjoy reading other people's work and seeing how they say things and do things. But, you know, maybe step away from genre stuff just for the moment. And then the last two. First one, talk if you don't want to type. So dictate. If typing feels too much and you're at a point where you think, I do not want to just have to sit down and, you know, bash out the keys, then don't. Then speak it. Dictate it into Google Docs or whatever you're working on and speak it. And you might find that actually that can just help you get some words down when you're struggling. And then become part of a community, even if it's not in the Happy Writers Hub, even if you join another online writing group. I think there's plenty of free Facebook groups perhaps, but the reason I made the hub was so that people were able to come into something when they are perhaps halfway through and they just need to get over the finish line, because that initial excitement and joy and, you know, that momentum and those habits have maybe gone, and the hub is there to provide that. Don't do it by yourself. It's really common to get stuck. It's really common, as I said, no matter what creative pursuit you're doing. You might be halfway through knitting a scarf and you've had enough of knitting it. You know, whatever it is, we can get to this midpoint and struggle. You've got to expect it in a way. You've got to acknowledge it. You've got to sit down and be like, why am I feeling like this right now? And then you can think to yourself, yeah, do you know what? I am halfway through. I've written 25,000 words and I think it's stopping and acknowledging that you've done something incredible, that you've written that many words, you've done that many chapters or whatever it might be, and sort of sit and go and take yourself out for a nice coffee and just mull and think about, maybe journal, what's blocking me? What's the problem here? What's feeling uncomfortable? And go back through those symptoms that I shared, and are any of those applicable? And journal on it, or just sit and reflect on it and try and think to yourself, what do I need to tap back into? What are some of these strategies that, you know, I shared in the pod that maybe you could try? Think what might, maybe you've never done 30 minute sprints and maybe this is the time to try. Or maybe you feel like the 30 minutes a day has now become something that feels a little bit too much and you want to go and do, okay, on a Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday morning, I'm going to do an hour. Or it's up to you, but I'm just inviting you at this point to consider, what is it that is the issue? And like I said, I know the issue for me is that I've kind of got out of my good habits a little bit, whereas like I was doing, you know, Monday to Friday sprints, I'm now maybe doing 3 days a week, which isn't helping my progress. But also I'm just acknowledging that I'm tired a little bit of writing about this stuff now, and I'm almost at the end of being able to say everything I want to say. So it does feel like a bit of a slog, but I know from doing it so many times now that it's so worth it when I finally finish that first draft and then the download has happened and now I can go back and refine it. Talk to people. Tell people in your family, oh my gosh, I'm really struggling with this. Can I just talk to you about it? Have strategies up your sleeve. Have a plan in place. Don't lose hope, because you, I know, can do this. You wouldn't have got this far if you didn't have it within you to finish, because a lot of people don't even get halfway or three quarters of the way. A lot of people stop after the first chapter or two, mainly because they don't have an outline. But acknowledge how far you've come, celebrate it, and then think, do you know what? Visualize your finished book, visualize giving it to people, visualize having it on your shelf, and allow that to give you that little burst of excitement again. Tap right back into why you're doing this. And quite often I will shut my eyes and I will picture me holding my book. I don't know what the cover looks like yet, but I know that I'm going to love holding it and I'm going to love showing it to people, and I'm going to feel super proud. And when you can tap into, when you're visualizing that, those emotions that will stir naturally, like excitement and joy and pride and just a sense of achievement, that can be enough. So perhaps, and I think I might do this, when I sit down to write, I'm going to take a moment just to do that visualization practice and just remind myself that it is worth it, because it really, really is. If you know another writer who might enjoy this, please do share it with them. And if you would like to give me any feedback or you want to leave a review, I'd be really grateful. You can always contact me, steph@stephcaswell.com. You can also reach out to me on Instagram, I'm Steph Caswell Author, and I'm also on LinkedIn. So until next time, good luck, keep going, and happy writing.